The fires in California continue to dominate the headlines.
Oh, yeah.
And now that the shock of the pictures has worn off, mm-hmm. and you know what I mean when I say that.
Oh, yeah. Right? Like, there's the whole neighborhoods are just gone. But famous neighborhoods.
When I say worn off, I don't mean that people don't care anymore. It just gets to a point where you see pictures so many times, it's like, this is a thing that happens.
You're desensitized.
Exactly. We're getting stories from people about what they lost, but more amazing, what was saved.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to imagine being told to run out of a place mm-hmm. that has your life inside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it would create a hell of an issue if you needed to take something with you.
Yeah.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. You're enjoying hearing our voices.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm sure you'd enjoy a little bit more seeing our faces.
What do you do?
Well, you log on to the Odyssey app.
And then what happens?
WCMF.com, yeah. YouTube or Twitch. The Break Room WCMF on YouTube or Twitch, and you can see Tommy in his turquoise sneakers this morning. You look like a man who claims he's Native American trying to lead a tour through a park where he's making up Native Americans.
I got to get my steps in.
In turquoise?
Yes.
Our live stream up and running, all of that brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing. Stock up with Kind IPA for the big game.
Always be kind.
This weekend. Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A glimmer of hope. In the terrible story that has been the California wildfires for the last 7 days.
So what happened?
So the Cotler family.
The Cotlers?
They're a couple. They got two young kids. They had to evacuate.
Yeah.
When they were told the fires could be less than an hour away from where they lived. And they left with just the clothes on their back.
Yeah.
They took off.
You flee, basically.
You got it. Unfortunately, their home completely destroyed. But when they went back to survey the damage,
yeah.
they noticed something in the rubble. Their most important family heirloom.
Which is?
It's a menorah that survived the Holocaust.
Okay. And it was still intact?
Still intact. Good. It was all fine. So the story behind the menorah, it had been passed down for generations on this guy's dad's side. And a quote from the dad, his name is Josh, he says, quote, "It was insanely powerful to find it. The night before, I had been crying on the phone with my cousin, regretting not grabbing it when we left. And then to find it, the only thing left from the entire house was just an insane feeling." It's a ray of hope in a terrible story, right?
Because it's something you thought you'd never see again.
But
never
you think
get
the whole
back.
House is toast.
You can't replace.
Yeah. But that story aside.
Even the toast.
Leaving your home at a moment's notice would be one of the hardest things you ever had to do, right? And there are stories we're seeing of people that grabbed one thing that they could carry out of all of the earthly possessions they've ever collected. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. You can take one thing. One thing from your house before you lose it all. 252-WCMF, what are you taking? I want to start with Kimmy because she has a soul.
So we're already beyond, like, so the pets are in the car.
Pets are good.
Okay.
It's,
we're talking about, like, possessions, material. Not living things.
Straight material item.
Okay, probably my computer.
Interesting.
Just because it
You don't want to lose all that dynamite break room content.
Well, I may
need
it.
Get the creep cap.
I mean, we're creepless. America is creepless. Sorry.
Aside from maybe like, but here's the thing, like all my pictures and stuff are on my phone. So I was thinking like stuff you can't replace. We don't have a ton of stuff that we've collected that's
worth the crap.
Or, you know, just stuff that, that was given, special things given to us. From family members that we don't, what?
You just say nobody in your family gave you anything special?
Well, no, I mean, it's useful stuff, but I don't have, I don't have, like, jewelry or anything,
like your grandmother's stuff or anything?
I have my wedding ring has some of my diamonds in
it. But that's on your hand.
But it's already on my hand, so I can't think of really anything else that's of that type of value that I would grab in an instant, that I would think to grab in an instant. Yeah, everything else is replaceable.
So it's your laptop and you're gone?
Kind of, yeah. I think so.
Okay, Tommy?
Yeah.
A nation turns their lonely eyes to you.
Yeah.
One thing you can carry. What are you taking out of your house?
I know, like, with my wife and I, she's going to grab something that is sentimental to the kids.
Okay.
That's going to be her main focus. It's something that the kids made or gave her or the grandkids did. She's going to grab that.
Sure.
I am taking my heirloom ass out of that house. I don't have anything in that house.
You just made fun of me.
That I care about.
No, but that's
that much that I'm going back in.
Wait. No, you don't have to go back in.
And I've got pictures of family and stuff like that, but I never look at
you
stuff.
You get to take it. You're not in danger. You get one thing, and you don't even want it?
No. It would have to be, you know, I swear to God, maybe those new hats I got.
Wait a minute.
or my sock collection.
You would take a new hat.
Hat, a couple of handfuls of socks. I don't.
No, you get one thing. How do you? How are you so bad at these
I'm
exercises?
A hat. I honest to God, unless I had like a pile of money in the house or something like that, I don't have anything that I can't replace. And I don't have, like, when you go, you've been in my house.
Yeah, yeah. But you mean your wife's house?
Yeah, my wife's house.
Yeah.
It's all her life and her pictures.
Sure.
None of my stuff is up.
Okay.
It sits in a box in a basement because I really don't care.
I understand.
And I've got pictures of, like, my uncle playing football, my dad. I got pictures of my dad with Babe Ruth, but I got that on my phone. So
okay. You have been alive.
Babe Ruth is a piece of crap. So was my father.
You've been alive for over six decades.
Yes.
You have collected things along the way.
I have. I got CMF stuff. Comedy stuff.
Outlaw Radio, baby.
Yes.
He's got that t-shirt on. He's pushing. Come on, guys. We got to go. Wee, it's 9 to 11.
Is there anything that you would want to pass down to your grandkids? Is there something that you would take that you hope they...
Don't make it worse.
...cherish one
Don't
day?
Make it worse.
What? No, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because what I found out with my parents dying and we went into the condo of their whole life.
Yeah.
Right? And we even said to all the grandkids, what do you want? Nobody wanted anything because they got their own life. Like, people make their own memories. I know, like, people think, I'm going to hand this down to my kids and my grandkids.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to want it because they got their own thing going on.
Okay.
That means something to you, and that value nosedives the next
Well, I know what you're saying, like, a basement full of stuff, right? But not,
yes.
like, one single thing.
I mean, I've got stuff from my mother and from the Marine Corps, some pictures and stuff like that. But who's going to look at it?
I don't know. Maybe somebody that's interested in their past.
I mean, like, that. My grandkids are going to, as their stepfather, they're not even, I mean, they may be interested in
True.
More of my wife's side of the family than my side of it. Once they realize I wasn't the first granddad.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like a red-shirted grandfather. I'm like, when you get one of those honorary degrees from the college, you know it could be taken away at any moment if you screw up.
Absolutely.
That's what being a step-grandfather is. So I don't really have those memories. I think, like, all our Bills stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, like, my stepson's a big Bills fan. But I mean, we got some of those credentials and stuff. Who wants them?
I guess what
it's got my name on
it. Look, I understand where you're coming from only because you have no soul and no one in your family wanted
anything.
No, but I
think I'm the right way to think.
Of course you think that way because you think that way.
No, because, like, man, this is Earth and you ain't staying.
Oh,
so stop collecting stuff because it all stays here.
Says man who just bought two fancy hats.
Well, I need something in the casket.
Stop collecting stuff.
Maybe one over my chest.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. House is on fire.
How'd I do? Good?
Terrible. You could take one thing that you can carry. What are you taking? Bob's on CMFA. Bob, how are you, buddy?
Hi, very good. Thank you. You're going to take my family estate dossier. It's consisting of basically a three-ring binder that includes plastic sleeves, whereas you're going to put all your valuable documents, such as your passports, your vehicle titles, your birth certificates.
But you're a load of laughs, bro.
My wife's got one of these too.
I mean, it's
a three-ring binder with my passports and my vehicle.
But that is
my
stuff.
VIN numbers.
It's not bad advice.
Let it burn.
No, man, you need a passport.
Yes,
you need an ID. You need birth certificate.
I got a house. I need a passport. Where we go? Jamaica. the house is gone. Let's take a fabulous cruise.
Think of how hard it would be to replace that stuff without that identification.
I
on
ain't
you.
Karen. Hey, by the way, you're old, Ash. You ain't going to be around much longer,
For God's
Bobby
sakes,
boy.
Bob seems nice. Bob, I'm
Worry
sorry. Go ahead,
buddy. VIN numbers.
Cut you off there. Go ahead.
Are you done, Tommy?
Yeah, get him. Are you done?
I'll let you know.
I present this to various senior citizens. I've done it at Penfield. I'm doing it next week in Parenton and Penfield. And I teach people how to create this binder, which includes more than your passports. It includes all your information so that when you die, your executor can close out your estate in a timely
Who cares? You're dead.
You
What's your business
you
writing down?
People that you leave behind will care.
You literally just said, you know, you got to think, Bob, hold on.
Let him go on a Tommy Easter egg hunt. I can care about my VIN number.
You literally just said, people think they're so important and then it becomes a big hassle when they die. He goes, this is how you lower the hassle when a loved one dies. Who cares?
Hey, let me say, let the living figure it out. There's your business. Playing Bobby, three ring.
Yeah,
binder.
Good luck with that.
I'm dead. I don't care.
You won't care because you're dead, but your executors and your family, your heirs will care.
They're all college educated.
Now, by the
they
way,
can go upstairs and poke
I
around.
Hope none of those people are listening to you right now.
Oh, by the way, what the do you question, think you're getting from my broke ass?
The question is, what do you take out of your house in case of a fire? You're going to take this family estate dossier. To
I have a family estate dossier.
It's all good advice, all right, Bob, right, but he is not going to listen to you.
Come to my seminar next week, Tommy. You might change your advice.
Your
tone of voice. Yeah.
Get him, Bob. Bob, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
He's going to be walking out like it's the nuclear football and he's going on Air Force One. I got my dossier.
Oh,
my.
He almost nailed it, and then he tripped over the word, and then it screwed everything up. Air Fossil One.
Come to my boring-ass seminar.
252
in a church basement.
Okay.
About
so with the exception of Bob, I mean, that's a very, like, you know, logical way to
it's
think.
Very logical. Yeah.
Okay, but I still, I mean, if you
but we're thinking of more, like, you're thinking sentimental.
Well, I mean, no, and that's just it. There are two ways to go with it.
Because you've got a lot of
stuff. Well, Bob's thinking practical. We were talking sentimental.
But there's also,
you have a lot of memories.
I do. And there are two ways to go about this, right? There are the things that you own that are financially valuable.
Okay.
And there are the things that you own that are emotionally valuable. Valuable. One is impossible to replace maybe because you can't afford it financially. Yeah. The other, impossible to replace because it's one of a kind and meaningful. And
you would have the hardest time with this as a collector.
Yeah.
A dossier collection. all these things are documented.
I mean, you hold a lot of that stuff very close to your heart. Because you've been collecting it your whole life.
So, like, I literally went into my basement where all my stuff is, and I, like, looked through everything.
Yeah.
If I could take one thing, as I was, you know, thinking about this last night, and I think I got it figured out. I have a University of Miami mini helmet autographed by Jim Kelly.
Okay.
And it says, to Patrick, Jim Kelly. My dad gave it to me for, like, my 12th, 13th birthday.
Okay.
And it was, like, the nicest thing I owned until I was, like, 24 years old.
Okay.
And I treasure this thing. It's never come out of a little case either. It's just lived in that thing. And it's not really a value financially.
But it has memories.
Yes. Like it's just been with me the whole time.
Yeah.
And it brings me back to like a lot of good times. So think that's what I'm taking out.
But it's all right.
It's sentimental. I mean,
one lousy mini helmet with Jim Kelly's autograph.
Okay, but what?
How many mini helmets have Jim Kelly's autograph? I know it's at the University of Miami. But still.
It's not even about what it is. It's about like where how it came
so you
with
would,
me.
So you would go with something like that versus some like family heirloom or
well, like I mean, to
something
me,
that you, because I would think you'd go with kids. It complicates things too, right?
To me, that is a family heirloom.
Okay.
And here's the thing, like with the kids.
Plastic. Sitting in plastic.
You literally said you would take nothing. We gave you an opportunity.
I ain't sticking around, so why collect?
I can't think of something that my kids have where I'm like, I can't replace that.
Okay.
Wait, like said that they made for you? Like cards and letters?
What the hell do I want that? What the hell do I want that for?
My wife wants all of that.
My wife has saved all of it, by the way.
Yeah.
She's got it. Maybe that. I wonder
so
if
my wife has like the box of the kids' stuff, and she's taken that first. As a matter of fact, she will shove me down the stairs to get to it. She will actually use me as a human shield to get as the flames lick my fat, ugly face as she grabs that box.
You know, you bring up a good question.
Right.
And I see you guys on hold, 252-WCMF. We're talking about this story coming out of those California wildfires. His family had to evacuate in 30 minutes, left everything behind just to close on their back. They went back to check their house, totally destroyed. But in the rubble was this family heirloom. It was a menorah that had been passed down since before the Holocaust. And even the dad of this family, young kids, he said he called his cousin the night they had to evacuate and was crying. I can't believe I didn't grab it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's good. And we're asking, you got one thing that you can carry. What are you taking? If you are in a relationship, because you're bringing up wives, give me your husband, do you think you and your spouse would agree on what the other should take?
Oh, I doubt that.
Okay. Well, your wife would get a free pass. She gets two things because you don't want anything.
She's true.
Like, I'm trying to.
There we go. What are you going back for that for? You can buy another one.
I don't know what my wife would take. Because, like, she's got a lot of things that mean a lot to her.
Don't forget, she's got her medical. Does she have any of her diplomas or medical? Is that at the office?
I think it's the office.
Okay.
Yeah. But, right, like, so we got a picture of her grandmother, my girl's great-grandmother, that like, hangs on the wall that's, like, from Jamaica.
Like one of those generational things?
No, it's just a picture of her.
Oh, you got to grab Jamaican grandmother?
Well, no, but then again, there's, like, all these other.
I'd be afraid if I didn't take it, what would happen to me?
What do you mean?
I don't know, and I don't want to know. I know the islands have their own ways about this. And they settle scores in an ugly, ugly way.
She's gone, man. She can't hurt you.
No, they can, bro.
So, yeah, I don't know if, I mean, if there
yeah,
would be,
she's got a lot of history.
But it could also be something of financial value that she, like, this is going to, I mean, this is going to comfort me yeah. as a human mm-hmm. being. You know what's funny? Like, you can make an argument for survival versus emotion also, because, yeah. like, throughout history, we've seen people choose emotion over survival. Like, mm-hmm. people that were driven from their homes in cases of war, other yeah. natural disasters, they will leave with pictures and memories instead of valuable items. But, you know, if you get stranded, and there are some people in these California places that have nowhere to go,
right.
you grab something of value, you can use that to put yourself in a better situation.
Right. Yeah, it's money.
You know what I mean? So, right. like, you're right. Like, the argument that it can be replaced is one thing, mm-hmm. but you're not going to be put in a good situation immediately.
But I don't know if your head goes there immediately when you're
yeah. You're right. right. Yeah, you're right.
Because I'm thinking, yeah, grab the cash if you got it.
252-WCMF, we got Facebook messages coming in. I see you guys on hold. Mike writes us, I'm taking my daughter's crib from the basement. It's been in the family for three generations. Both my dad and I slept in it, and I want to give it to her for her kids. Could you carry a crib?
Man, that's bulky.
Yeah.
And then you got to put it in the car?
Right. It's going to take up more room.
Or are you going to roll it down the street? No, you can't take a crib.
All right, Mike, let's try something other than the crib. Think about second thing, crib.
How about less bulky?
Let's talk to, I think this might be our first ever on CMF.
Who's that?
A Claudette?
Claudette.
She's on CMF. I loved you in Les Mis. How's it going, Claudette?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
I would definitely take the two boxes that I have full of pictures of my kids since they were infants.
Okay, here's the thing, Claudette. The exercise is you only get to take one thing. You have to choose a box. Do you know which box you'd take?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's a more important box and then a Frank Reich backup box.
One of them is basically my two kids since they were infants, and the other one is family pictures. So
here's the great thing about both of those boxes, Claudette.
With that.
They don't want either of them.
Oh, she wants
it. She wants it. It's what you want.
But they're not going to want it.
I want it.
And when you're croaking, that's going in the trash.
I don't know. Some people like to have those old pictures.
Actually, my kids are 30 and 32, and they actually took a bunch of them.
So they don't even want what you got now.
Okay, Claudette, let me ask you this question.
Do you ever see him up in their houses? No.
He's just angry because he doesn't love anything, Claudette.
I have had experience with, like, blowing
up. Well, they were obsessed with them because some of them they had never seen.
Ah, how about that?
They were in them.
Well, yeah, you don't see the pictures as a baby, you idiot. Claudette, if you don't mind me asking, what do you think, as an item inside your home, is the most financially valuable thing you possess?
Financially valuable.
Piece of jewelry,
What's the most expensive thing you got in the house?
Electronic. Oh, what do you think it is?
I would say jewelry from my mom who has passed.
Okay, so how much do you think that's worth, ballpark?
Financially?
Yeah.
Probably not a hell of a lot, but emotionally, a lot.
Okay, but you would still rather have the kids' pictures than the jewelry from your mother?
Well, yeah, she's chintzy.
Yes.
She had chintz jewelry.
Claudette.
Yes.
Grandpa didn't step up.
Claudette, thanks for standing in the pocket. You did a great job, and we really appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you so much.
There goes Claudette. See, double Frank Reich. Right. Stood in the pocket, and she's got the backup.
She's not even listening to you anymore.
Kimmy, is there something that you lost that you wish you could have had back from the past? You regret letting it go? I'm not asking you this question, because you're just going to be like, dang, baby, dang.
Something she lost, she can't get back.
Something like, you know, along the way, either you misplaced it, you didn't save it.
See a look on your face.
What do you think it is, Tommy? What do you think
it is? I'm not saying a word. Not saying a word.
Something that
bitch.
I lost.
No,
nothing,
so there's nothing.
Nothing that I am upset about still to this day.
Okay. Because, like, if that happened in your past, that probably shapes what you would take out of this situation. Like, you guys know my parents' house was foreclosed on after I had moved out. So me and my siblings, we didn't get a heads up about it.
So you lost all of it.
Yeah, they just came in and they started chucking. Crap. I lost everything like I had as a kid. Pictures, trophies, newspaper clippings, like all the meaningful stuff you would have kept as like a middle and high school kid.
So you've been separated from that for a long time.
It's gone.
Yeah, I do have these days where it's like it would be nice to be able to go somewhere and like look at that stuff. I don't want to like display it, but
like show your kids what you looked like as a kid, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I have a yearbook from high school. Mm. I think that's all I got. Yeah.
That's all. You know what though, really? It's all you need, bro.
Shut up.
So this collecting and memories is so overblown.
Yeah, is it?
Your kids are going to look at your young self and laugh at you. Your stupid haircut, your flappy-ass jeans, your flappy-ass mouth. busted ass house.
But that's what that's for.
Junk
right?
in the yard.
Yeah. Like this.
You were never maybe not your bad example, but you were never curious, Pat, about what your parents looked like when they were kids, or
what
like
do you think
they your look grandparents. Like that. What they looked like as younger people.
Well,
like,
you saw that.
His dad was ugly and his mother's face was always covered in white. But I think what is happening, I'm not talking makeup, buddy. What I'm, Kibby, we're witnessing something. Right. And we finally, I think, gotten to the core of Tommy Mulet.
What's right. that?
Tommy Mulet is the way he is.
Don't cling.
Because when you lose something, it shapes you.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like when a mistake happens in your past or you have a regret, you change. So you avoid having that feeling again. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
And you have never loved anything enough.
I love me.
Because you are so selfish. Where you've had to change because it's not there anymore.
You never had that attachment?
Yeah.
And that's
so
why.
It's freeing.
And that's why you are still an 8-year-old child in an 8-year-old child's body.
All this stuff just drags you down, man.
But I can understand.
Memories just drag you down. They depress you. They make you think about the good times and the bad times.
Yes, that's what a human experience is.
And the people you lost. What the hell? What's it go down there? Misery lane.
But that's what I mean. I can understand if you have that take if you had a horrible childhood, right? Like, I don't want to go back. That was not a good time in my life. You had a boat at 10.
No, I had a nice ride.
Spoil ass bitch ass.
It's just, it's weird that you don't want to, like, relive some of those memories.
And once you've been out there on the high seas, you understand. You get it.
We'll take one more call. 252-WCMF. We were asking, you know, with this California wildfire, these stories of these people now recovering things that somehow survived. You got one thing. You got to leave. Everything else is going to be destroyed. You can take one thing out of your house. What are you taking? Rammer's got the last word on CMF. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good morning. Good. How you doing?
Good.
So the only thing I would grab, which has everything I would need, would be my fire safety box. It has valuable jewelry, documents, things like that. But realistically, Tommy's right to an extent. It's like nobody wants grandma's china or the curio cabinet.
But everyone wanted Tommy's grandma's foot china.
I mean, you know, if you've got the fire safety box and it, you know, it's big enough, I mean, you could get your, you know, bottle of booze in there, your, you know, watch collection, jewelry, documents. That's all you need
behind.
To grab.
Okay.
But I mean, even that stuff, outside of the physical valuable stuff, all of this stuff can
documentation.
Be digitized. You don't need any of the documents for titles and deeds, and it's all digitalized anyhow.
It's digitalized.
So you can have all that stuff on your phone.
No, I understand, but there are still people that, I mean, Raymer, there was so much stuff, so many memories they never had. They never went back and did it. Mm. Now you're stuck. You don't have 30 minutes to digitize your whole life.
Well, but that's why you do it now. I mean, it's pretty simple to do. You'd go around the house with your phone, take some video and, you know, some pictures or documents,
you
and you're done.
All right.
I mean, it's not like you have to spend any money to do it.
I don't have a fire safety box.
I thought it was not your face.
How do you not have a fire safety?
I don't.
Why?
Over
why?
50 has why? A fire safety.
Why?
Fire safety
why
box.
Are you doing this to me right now?
But isn't the purpose of a fire safety box that it survives a fire?
Well, up to a certain temperature, but I'm telling you,
you did it out too.
Always check your internal temperature.
They're melting steel in California, so that fire safety box isn't going to last in that kind of fire. You know,
I'm never going to forgive either of you for this. Raymer, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Okay,
and it never rains in Southern California.
All right, I will like to point out, I love my job.
Uh-huh.
I love working with you guys. I love all the calls we get. We have so much fun. But if I had to pick, we're picking one thing. If I had to pick one thing that bothers the hell out of me, it's when we have these discussions, which are really just a thought exercise. Mm-hmm. What do you care about the most? What puts you in the best position?
Right.
What do you
where does your brain go first?
Exactly. It's not a game to get the most, right? Because, like, we'll have these discussions where I'll be like, well, if I get a box.
I put a box in a box.
I could put more stuff in the box and look at all the stuff I got. It just, no. What matters to you is the question.
Yes, it does.
It's a way to figure out what matters
but
to you.
But it shows how greedy people are. They don't even see that. They want to put everything they can in a box and get out.
It's going in the box because you get more in the box. Right. You're all stupid.
All you need is a 3-ring binder.
What you need to do is digitize all your photos.
And come to my seminar.
Okay.
Digitize.
Kind of just trailed off there at the end. Last week, we informed you where you could find the world's biggest penises.
Yes.
Today, ladies, it's your turn. And all of you American women are doing a hell of a lot better than we gentlemen.
So we got some whoppers.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Okay, we have a chart in front of us where you can find the world's biggest breasts, and it's by country, not by like individual pair of breasts.
Well, there are more developed nations.
What was that, the UN Council on Boobies?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy? Yeah. All right, we'll start with Tommy.
Right.
Tommy, where do you think the largest breasts in the world?
Now, you said we're doing good.
We're doing good.
But we ain't
We're not number one.
Well, you got to think of your bosomy nations.
Okay, what are your bosomy nations?
Well, you got your Italians.
Okay.
Right? We get, you know, very, very voluptuous.
Sure, sure, sure.
I would say Spain.
Okay.
Those cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Brazil.
Okay.
Brazil's
well, yeah,
it's got
to go South America somewhere.
Brazil's got
But that's more of the butt culture, right?
You ain't looking all over.
It curves.
Because you need something to balance that out or you fall over.
None of the countries you just said were in the top 10.
You're kidding. Top 10?
Not even in the top 10. Kimmy?
South America's got to be in there.
Yeah, that's where I was
going. Well, no, he didn't say South America. He said Brazil.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to pick another South American country.
Number
Let's
one.
Go Argentina.
Argentina.
Throwing
wrong. Not even in the top 10.
Okay.
The largest breasts in the world.
Where is WAPA country?
Reside in Norway.
Norway?
Really? On average. Yes, I know. I know. I was just as stunned as you guys were.
I mean, they're beautiful people, but you never think of them as being like, you know, Hooters girls.
According to this study, Norway, on average, has the largest female breasts in the world. Now, the good news for you red, white, and blue ladies, you came in second.
Damn.
Really?
Yes. America,
so are we
a
sure
silver
that
medalist
this isn't? This is natural and not...
Yeah.
To be fair, no.
Okay.
Because it is, again, a self-reported study.
Yeah. I would think here it's much more popular to...
We padded our numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. I get where you're coming from, but again, when it comes to the population of women, the amount of women that have had a breast augmentation, a very, very small part of society.
Okay. But we're a very diverse country.
What they are... Yes, you're right.
We have brought in boobs from all over the world.
What they have found in this study... is that the countries with the larger BMIs also tend to have larger breasts.
I mean,
that makes sense.
Yes, but Norway does not have a high BMI.
Right,
they're an
that's
outlier.
Why that's,
yeah, they're slender.
Yeah.
So they're looking good.
Pretty healthy people.
Yeah, you got
So they're hot.
Okay.
They have beautiful bodies.
Would you like to guess the smallest breast size in the world? I'm going to start with Kimmy for no specific reason.
Where was the smallest penis size?
Thailand, if I remember
correctly.
I'll go
Thailand.
No.
Smaller overall.
No.
Okay.
Tommy?
I'm staying in the general hood. What?
Go ahead.
Japan.
No. Greenland has the smallest breast size on average in the world.
There's only like 70 people there.
Well, maybe they're all not stacked. The average size, average cup size was A in Greenland.
I don't think the population's so small.
So who's number two? You even got that?
Of the smallest? No, I don't have that. I'm sorry. And we do have one final study. The largest breasts in the break room. Congratulations, Tommy.
Bringing up our numbers.
So the bad news.
Somebody's got to do it.
The bad news for American men we got last week, I think we talked about this, just get worse because we found out that U.S. men were nowhere near the biggest penises in the world.
Hey, we were like middle of the road, right?
Yeah. I think we were 68th place with an average of 5.7 inches.
Mm.
It's weird what sticks in your head because I didn't go back and look that up. Then our ladies come in, working hard for the good old US of A in chest depth. But what's more interesting when you put these two studies side by
side? What's that?
When it came to the average penis size worldwide, there was a rhyme and a reason to it. Countries that were close to each other had similar penis sizes. For example, Canada, US, and Mexico, kind of similar. African countries, very similar. Mm. Asian countries, very similar sizes altogether. If you compared places... that shared continents all within a certain range, odds were penis size would be close.
So, all right.
It is not that way.
With boobs?
With breasts.
Oh. Well, but boob size can go hand in hand with weight. And penis size, that doesn't...
It actually goes the opposite way.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know.
So but, I would think just that alone would skew all those numbers.
So Canadian boobs and Mexican boobs would be... not in par with American.
Well, yeah, but it's because of the exchange rate. I'm going to go down the list of the top 10 largest average breasts in the world.
Right.
So we know that Norway's one, U.S. is two. The U.K. came in third.
Wow.
Luxembourg came in fourth. Small country, big breasts.
It's going to be that chocolate.
Iceland, Russia.
Man, it's all cold.
Colombia.
Colombia makes sense.
Canada, Poland, and then Venezuela. So So they are all over the map, yeah. Although no Asian countries, if I'm not mistaken.
No Spain, no Italy.
None of that. Maybe it's the Italian-American women that are voluptuous.
Oh, all right. But you think of, like, those movie stars from back in the day.
You think about the movies, the sexiest women from Italy?
Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
She was again,
beautiful, again. Curvy women.
It's like arguing everyone in America is as athletic as LeBron James.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
No, of course the movie stars are going to. You're an idiot.
Does that also have something to do with our diet? Like, is there something?
Yeah, we're fat.
Yeah, BMI was associated with.
Well, no, but I just. Is there some. Something in particular that we eat more of or drink more of? Like, do we drink more beer than normal?
Well, then you would win. The way you guzzle. You should be sitting on some kegs.
I don't know if that has something to do with it, if it pumps our numbers a little.
Well, no, here we go, because you're going to start with Tommy with the hormones of the milk stuff. The hormones on the boat. I got that right.
Look what it does for the actual cow.
All of big milk drinkers. So here's the thing. The study we read you last week, the largest penises on the planet, I highly doubt a single woman would look at that story and go, I know where I'm going on vacation next. Yet I am confident.
Somalia?
Yet I, it was.
It was Eastern Africa.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was, maybe it was Somalia.
Sudan,
yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I promise you, a minimum of 10 men listening to this show right now just wrote down Norway in their phone.
Book
because
of flight. Hey, I wonder if Spirit Airline goes there. Get me some discount tatas.